This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. Now, 2023 saw fintech funding in Southeast Asia hit a five-year low. This is as per the Traction Geo Annual Report, See Fintech 2023. And this was a five-year low as fintechs in the regions only raised around $2 billion in 2023. A lot of money, but down 65% from 2022. And 77% down from 2021. While the number of deals fell around 50% last year when compared to 2022 numbers. With this in mind, today we're going to be exploring the dynamic and rapidly evolving fintech sector here in Malaysia, a sector that is not just trying to reshape the financial landscape, but also is a space full of innovation and has seen plenty of investment in the past. Joining us to explore this, we have Farah Jafar, Vice President of Fintech Association of Malaysia, as well as Lo Zhen Hui, a Managing Partner at Artem Ventures. Among other things, we'll get into the current state of Malaysian fintech today, the milestones and challenges over the past year, key trends to watch ahead, and whether investor confidence in the sector has wavered. If you have any insights or questions about the fintech landscape, feel free to send them over on our way, WhatsApp, our U-Mobile number at 018-789-8899, or you can always reach us on X at BFM Radio. Zen, Fajar, Farah, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First things first, if we take a look at FinTech News Malaysia's annual report, which was last year, I think launched in November, there are around 300 fintech firms listed in Malaysia on in their Malaysia report. And key areas of focus last year, undoubtedly digital banking was a key area that people are watching. From both your perspectives, how would you characterize 2023 for Malaysian fintech, Farah?
I feel that fintech in Malaysia in 2023 really matured, right? Really matured. And what was possible, and that was made possible by a lot of players coming online. So what you had was the launch of the five digital banks. And really a lot of people focused on the launch of the banks and less on the groundwork that was needed in order to launch the banks. So what we're seeing here is coming to market, and that's going to be really interesting. Yes, 313 players, of which more than half are members of the FinTech Association of Malaysia. We're very proud of that. I think the digital landscape in 2023, one word is maturity, Roshan, maturity.
Zen?
I think, not to take away from the title, but congratulations to the digibanks that have actually, you know, gotten started. I think we were very happy to see that. And yes, totally, we've seen that the funding has fallen in terms of deal count as well as the size of checks that have been written. But at the same time, from our own perspective, we've actually looked at over 20 to 30 fintech deals last year alone. Right, so startups are still there, still fundraising. It's probably just a more challenging climate for them to actually get that money in. And I think we are still encouraged by the sight of or the fact that some startups did, early stage startups did manage to raise funds last year. I'm talking about companies like Madcash, Senang, Policy Street, Vertical, as well as Finology, among some of them. Right, so. So there is still a push in terms of funding coming, at least even from funds like Kazana as well as Dana Perintis by Quap, trying to tackle financial inclusion, which is still a major issue that Malaysia is facing. So I think we're just keeping our eyes on this and really hoping that there'll be more of this funding coming along in the next few years.
So Zenvara's word of the year for fintech last year was maturity. Do you have a word of the year for 2023 fintech?
Optimistic.
I think maybe what differentiates a differentiating factor in Malaysia is that we have seen more GLCs come into the fray with the Dana Perintis, as you mentioned, from Quap. Dana Impact as well continues to, I mean, just earlier this year, funding societies raised around with on the back of that. Farah, as a vice president of the FinTech Association of Malaysia, given that you're with the association, you have a broader view of industry developments. Could you highlight some of the major milestones and challenges, of course, that Malaysian fintech saw last year?
I think the maturity, I go back to that that word again, right? Because I think it's important.
It's a good word. It's a good word.
No, because you got to understand that maturity comes with it a more paced approach.
Mm. You know, when your parents take away your allowance at some point, which is the equivalent of cheap money going away, you have to figure out a way to keep going.
So the headline of, you know, the deal world, as it were, in this space is going, you know, no longer going gangbusters is one thing. But I think it's important for us to understand that there's quality with maturity. So, you know, obviously the banks, the insurtechs. So we have had at the FinTech Association of Malaysia a lot of work with the regulators, both the SC and Negara, on BNPL, Buy Now, Pay Later. Obviously, DITO, which is the digital insurance, and Takaful. We've also had discussions about digital assets, which is a key area in 2024 onwards. So those areas are key. Obviously, moving forward, I think that there's a lot of possibility in... Before I forget, digital custody. Mm. Now, I think digital custody is something that not a lot of people realize that Malaysia actually has an edge, right? We're one of the first fully regulated digital custody jurisdictions. I think that's key to understand. And when you look at moving from more from a retail focus fintech solution to a middle office or even a wholesale fintech solution, custody is going to be a key enabler and facilitator. And kudos to the SC for doing a really great job with the custody framework. Okay.
Some players in that space, I spoke to Suhana of CoKeeps just in December, in Gambit as well as in that space.
Precisely.
It seems that in the digital asset crypto space, from a regulator perspective, Malaysia punching above its weight.
Absolutely, because you have to understand that a lot of the implosions that happened last year globally, right, in fintech, for example, the great FTX and all the rest of it, and Binance and all the rest of it, it's all because of the situation, the segregation of duties.
Yeah.
Right? In any financial space and landscape, you have segregation of duties, right? In the day when I was a broker, we had back office, middle office, compliance, front office, right? And all that then suddenly becomes stacks in server rooms, right? So I think there is such value in really appreciating the custodial element that is required in order for fintech to mature in Malaysia.
Which goes back to your word of the year for last year, maturity, right?
Maturity.
Because FTX was keeping everything on their balance sheet.
Precisely.
No real responsibility, no real accountability, and which is something we didn't see here. So that's great to see that there's a maturity element on a global scale, but we were a little bit ahead of the curve there.
No, absolutely. And we're not talking enough about it, I think, you know. The idea of segregation of duties, i.e. custodianship in that digital space is key, right? And the other thing that I want to talk about is Islamic fintech.
I think
we do not use enough of what our USPs, right? Our unique selling proposition as a country in order to really push forward our digital edge. So I think the highlights, obviously the obvious insurtech, digital banks, payments, that's all very retail. I think as we get into that middle office, back office space, as we look into digital assets, blockchain, for example, which is an area I'm focused on now, I think that is where really as we move forward, 2024 is key. 2023, the highlights is for everyone to see. The growth actually is stupendous. I have my own thoughts about why funding has gone down, but then that's a different discussion, I think.
Maybe we can touch on it a little later.
Yeah.
Actually, Zen, I'd love to hear if you have any thoughts on what Vara said earlier, especially those key areas, right? BNPL, DITO, digital assets, Islamic fintech. Anything in particular from your side?
I think I totally agree, especially with regards to how Malaysia as a finance and a fintech hub is kind of ahead of the rest of the world in certain areas. We're an Islamic finance world leader, for instance. And the fact that we haven't had any major, you know, and we hope that it stays this way, right? No major, you know, finance scandals happening out of the fintech world. I do think that with Malaysia, the new technologies that are coming out to play, the ones that are, you know, customer facing, they're focused on distribution, they are already there, right? So that's the next step that comes after that is to build off, you know, the data that you're getting, from these platforms. And it goes into what Farah said, right, about the back-end processes, the understanding your customers, that sort of thing. That's really how you're able to start offering better products, better services to your customers. So it's a loop, right? Your customer facing, retail facing, comes back, goes back to your customers, and that's how you keep them on your platforms.
Farah, for last year, we talked about some of the milestones earlier, but aside from the funding winter, so-called funding winter, were there any other key challenges that the industry faced or were, keeping an eye on last year?
I think reputation.
Mm.
I think holistically reputation globally of the fintech industry suffered. And that could be a reason why, money's like water, right? They always find level.
Mm.
Yes.
Water always finds level, so does money. So, it could be part of that. I think one of the challenges is, as a country, the fintech ecosystem would benefit from very high-level strategic alignment.
Okay.
Okay? We see there are a lot of agencies focused on delivery. And with that new digital ministry, I hope that, there's going to be a confluence, right? With a lot of different players in the market, with a lot of different agencies, it creates a lot of noise, which is good, but also less clarity with regards to direction, right? From a holistic point of view, a very high-level point of view. So I think the digital ministry is going to be great. I think for a fact that, we know for a fact at FAOM that this last year in 2023 was, we started working with MDEC a lot more closely, right? Because there's the fintech element. You have to understand, in anything to do with financial services, you have NAGARA, you have SEC, you have Labuan, for example, right? And then you have MDEC, right? The collaboration, it's a complex
ecosystem.
Ecosystem.
Yeah, multiple stakeholders involved there.
Massive.
We got to go into a quick break. When we come back, Zen, I want to learn a little bit more about the investment landscape and where you're seeing attention being shown. And folks, you're listening to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. Today, we've been exploring the dynamic and rapidly evolving fintech sector here in Malaysia. And among other things, we've been talking about the current state of Malaysian fintech, the milestones and challenges over the past year, key trends to watch in a little bit, and where investor confidence is. Helping me with this conversation has been Farah Jafar, Vice President of the Fintech Association of Malaysia, as well as Lo Zen Hui, a managing partner at Artem Ventures. I'm Roshan Kanasin. We'll be back in just a bit, so keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Roshan Kanasin, and welcome to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. 2023 saw fintech funding in Southeast Asia hit a five-year low as fintech firms in the region raised $2 billion in 2023, down 65% from 22 and 77% down from 2021, as deal numbers fell around 50% in 2023 compared to 2022. This was as per the Traction Geo annual report called See FinTech 2023. With that in mind, today on Enterprise Explores, we're taking a look at the dynamic in evolving fintech sector here in Malaysia. And among other things, we're getting into the current state of the scene, milestones and challenges over the last year. Up ahead, we'll talk about the key trends to watch this year, including digital assets being a key part of that, and where investor confidence is. We're having this conversation with Farah Jafar, Vice President of the Fintech Association of Malaysia, as well as Lo Zen Hui, a managing partner at Artem Ventures, a venture capital firm. Zen, as a venture capitalist who watches the space in the region, not just in Malaysia, talk to us a little bit about what you see as the unique characteristics of the Malaysian fintech landscape and how it differentiates from other markets in the region.
Okay, so this is this is a topic that I could probably talk about for quite a long time.
That's right? What I like to hear.
So, but I'm just going to cut it down to maybe just a few key points about what makes us such a lovely country to set up a fintech business in, right? So I think with that, we have to look at the customers in Malaysia. Who's your market, right? And in Malaysia, we have a pretty sizable market compared to some of our neighbours. It's also a market where there's this strange little contrast in the sense that we are also actually quite well banked, right? I think over 80 or 90% of the Malaysian population have bank accounts. We also are pretty good with our digital payments. At least over the pandemic, there was heavy adoption of that. But at the same time, we also have a pretty sizable underserved market still, right? And I'm talking about people who don't really have access to financial services and products or even insurance. And that market and well, in general, the whole market here, we are predominantly Muslim, right? So that also gives us a great starting ground for Islamic finance as well as fintech businesses. At the same time, you know, compared to some of our neighbors, we also have a very proactive and supportive. We have proactive and supportive regulators, in BNM as well as Securities Commission. At the same time, we also have, you know, a pretty good environment for starting up new businesses. So we're very business friendly. It's easy to start up here, and that also encourages actually the influx of foreign capital coming to Malaysia to fund our startups.
And you're seeing that more foreign capital coming in to fund startups, locally made startups?
Absolutely. So I think over the last year, we have seen a lot more interest. We're interacting with a lot of foreign VCs from Singapore, from Indonesia and other markets. They've actually started coming to Malaysia, paying us house visits in a way, you know, getting to know our landscape, you know.
Kicking the tires.
Exactly, you know. What's good to invest in Malaysia? That's the question that they always come
with. Lawatan sambil belajar.
Betul. And I guess to some extent, they're also chasing money, right? Yeah. Because going back to some of the GLCs, having funds that are set aside to target the Malaysian market, and they're encouraging foreign GPs to apply for it at the same time. So that's also one reason why they're coming.
And how has that influenced the way Artem is managing money and investing?
For us, we are always looking at the underserved market. So over the last year, we have actually made close to 12 investments, and you can find this financial inclusion agenda to all our investments, whether they're targeting Islamic finance or insurance or you know, the conventional fintech solutions, that sort of thing. All right, so I think just to examine this market under maybe a different lens, if you want to serve the underserved, you need to go to where they are, right? And I think that's where traditional FIs struggle with, because they don't have that touch point with these customers. So I'm talking about people like gig workers. I'm talking about the homemaker, right, who's running a side business online to sustain themselves, make a little pocket money. I'm talking about people who are doing, who are part of the care economy, right? People who are not really, you know, thin credit kind of people who don't have like a banking history, possibly. So how do we serve them, right? And for us, obviously the products are there. You know, if you wanted to back like a BNPL player or an insurtech platform, we can do that. But we're also looking beyond that, right? And that's why we went into companies like KidoCare, and went into companies like Agent to You and Quote. These platforms actually serve these underserved workers first. And then we're looking at how we could layer fintech on top of it.
All of them, by the way, have been on Open for Business, the show we have every day at 10 a.m., many of them. And in fact, another one of your portfolio companies, Matt Cash, will be coming on the show in a few weeks'
Great.
Time. So with that, you know, you're still seeing some investor confidence. It's not as drastic as some of the numbers we'll have seen, but because I guess, to be fair, that 2023 being the worst year in 5 years, we're talking about some really high base effects here as well, when cheap money just, you know, things went a bit crazy in a lot of ways.
That's right.
What sectors, looking ahead in fintech, I mean, you kind of highlighted where you're looking at as a fund, but in terms of the overall sector, what looks to be most attractive for investors in general?
I think maybe it's not really a sector, but it's how you approach a product.
Okay.
And I'm talking about things like having a more data-driven mindset when it comes to building your products. I think one of the challenges actually that traditional FIs have faced is that their products are not really customized to you know these segments, right? So people, of course, they feel left out because, you know, you're an SME and you apply for a bank loan and you don't get it because you know the bank doesn't really get what you're doing, right, with your business, especially if you're like a digital startup or something like that, you know. So having this you know, if you're on a platform, on the other hand, a fintech platform, and they know exactly how much money you're making as an SME, right, every month and all that. So that allows them to build like this profile of you, right, as a business owner, as a business, and then that's where they can say, with confidence, I can make this product available to you, right? So if you're talking about data-driven financial products, and definitely I have to plug InsurTech products because that's what our fund invests in, right? So even in Malaysia, we if you look at all the InsurTech players in the country, most of them are focused on distribution first, right? I think that's how you establish that contact with customers. That's where you start harvesting data about your customers. And I'm not talking about like, you know, we as consumers tend to be worried, you know, about how much data we're giving away. But these platforms, they're supposed to look at that data and say that, okay, I think I can create a product for you in future, right? And I can work with an insurer, I can work with somebody else that can underwrite it, simply because I know, you know, what kind of risk profile you're presenting to me. So it's about having this mindset around using that data, right? When you're crafting a new product, that's how you are able to really tap into the needs of these people. Otherwise, you know, you're a business that's not exactly solving a real problem per se.
I
just wanted to jump in here. You know, I think when we look at Malaysia as a fintech center, there's a lot going for it in the sense that, as you said, you know, we are a low-cost center. We are a great talent developer, right? You know, the challenge is keeping the talent, but we're a great talent developer.
HQs may be in Singapore, but the bulk of the operations are here.
Correct, exactly, right? So, but where's that value add, right, as a country? Now, I think that the beauty of fintech is that it's really jurisdictionless, right? And whilst you're talking a lot about players or potential players coming into the Malaysian market, and Malaysia is a decent kind, you know, it's a great country. It's got 33 million people. A lot unbanked, a lot uninsured, you know, we are in need of a financial safety net for a lot of people. But I think our challenge is ensuring that our fintech players export their expertise, right? This is where we're at, because this is our problem. We have a small market. You can't compete with Vietnam, Indonesia. So where is our value add? Our value add is really in ensuring that we are exporting our fintech. And that's where I'd like to see us going moving forward, right?
Yes.
So that's key. So when we start investing, like VCs and, you know, the LPs and all the funds start investing, you know, it'd be nice to know that that is also top of mind. Not just serving domestic, but being able to really grow there's a unicorn, that's one thing. And then there's another word. What is it, Roshan?
Unicorns?
That's a WhatsApp group.
Yes, correct. So the other one, zebras, is that what?
There's a semi in between medium unicorn.
Centaurs, right?
Something like that. I don't know. But, you know, we need to think big. Mm. We need to think post-Malaysia. We need to think regional, at the very least, in my mind anyway.
I totally agree with that. I think even from the very first conversations that we have with founders, it's always about, you know, what are you going to be in 5 years? Mm. Malaysia's not big enough market for you. No way. Right? So you have to look outside. And I think to that point, you know, we are a multicultural, multilingual market. And it's probably great for startups to start here because, you know, they're building this with localization.
The diversity allows you to test multiple demographics in one location.
Yeah, so it's a launch pad for you to eventually go after new markets, right? Because you know what works if you're trying to target different customer segments.
Yeah, and that's the thing you're working on at FinTech Association of Malaysia. It's like really building bridges with the other FinTech associations, like with Hong Kong, Singapore, Indonesia, Thailand. Do not underestimate Thailand. Mm-hmm. Gosh, you know, seriously, these folks are way ahead. And the beauty is that once we start having this network of fintech associations, we're then able to help our members distribute out themselves, right? So that regionalization is key, right? We need to start really adopting a digital mindset, in which case there are no jurisdictions. And in a way, that's the challenge. In a way, that's the beauty.
Farah, I want to pick your brain on that, the network of fintech associations in a little bit. Folks, you're listening to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. Today, we've been exploring the fintech sector here in Malaysia. And among other things, we've been talking about where the fintech sector is today, what it needs to do, power ahead, as well as some of the key trends to watch. We're having this discussion with Farah Jafar, Vice President of the Fintech Association of Malaysia, as well as Lo Zen Hui, a managing partner at Artem Ventures. I'm Roshan Gunnison. We'll be back in just a bit, so keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Brave, free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, and you're now listening to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And 2023 saw fintech funding in Southeast Asia hit a five-year low as fintech firms in the region raised $2 billion US in 2023, down 65% from 2022 and 77% from 2021. That said, still from a higher base effect. With that in mind, today on Enterprise Explores, we've been talking about the current landscape of the fintech ecosystem here in Malaysia, talking about where it is today, where it will go ahead, some of the key areas to watch, and investor confidence, whether it's wavered or whether it's remained the same. We've been having this conversation with Farah Jafar, Vice President of the Fintech Association of Malaysia, as well as Lo Zen Hui, a managing partner at venture capitalist firm Artem Ventures. Earlier, we were, Farah and Zen, we were talking about key areas, right? So I think, Farah, you made the point of naming things like BNPL, digital assets, Ditto as well, digital insurer and Takaful operator license, which is quite, a lot of people are paying attention to in mm-hmm. this space, for sure, mm-hmm. As well as Islamic fintech. I think a key area, I think we were talking a little bit about this in between the break, is you wanted to make note, you want to talk about talent, right? And talent's really going to... Talent's going to make or break your industry, right? Whether you have readily available access to it, especially the technology space. Where are you seeing, what is the industry telling you in terms of their talent needs and whether they're being met?
I think when you look at talent, right, it's almost a double-edged sword in the sense that we need the talent, we have the talent. Retaining the talent is the challenge. Mm. Ensuring we get the right talent in as well is the challenge. For example, I work at Fusang Malaysia, right? Mm-hmm. So we are a digital exchange. We are finding it very, very challenging trying to get blockchain engineers, okay? Which is the base of what a lot of us do, right? So I think, and we need to import people in, which is another challenge, okay? So I think what's important is cultivating the right challenge. And yes, there are a lot of... At the lower level, I would say there isn't that much of a challenge. But when you get to the medium and the higher end technical requirements, that is where the challenge is. And then the other thing is that even if, you know, in the digital space, even if people are not moving overseas, they work from home. They work remotely. So you may not see that necessarily in the migration numbers, for example, right? So we need to really take a deep dive as to see really who is available to serve the domestic digital fintech market. I think that's an important element, that when we start looking at digital, it doesn't mean that people need to migrate to our neighbors down below or above or whatever it is, right? I think we need to look at it from a really holistic point of view. And yes, there are challenges at medium to high end job.
Based on engagements with the relevant stakeholders, are there any easy, it's not an easy solution, but is there anything that, you know, low hanging fruit where we can, levers that we can pull in order to make this less of a problem?
I think allowing some kind of technology transfer would be one thing. Mm-hmm. Malaysia is a key BPO market, for example. And time again, a lot of the back office services are for global fintechs are being conducted in Malaysia. Now, I think that there's possibility if there is technology transfer to be had by these foreign companies coming into Malaysia, using Malaysia as a base, mandated, making mandatory to ensure that there is a technology transfer. Okay? Because I think, you know, remember the time where we had all these huge IT chip firms in Penang, and there was actually a requirement for technology transfer. Now, that worked really well. That worked really well. So I think once we allow for all these FDIs to come in, once there's a technology transfer, I think that's amazing. What we're doing with the university graduates is already quite good. I think they're quite good universities in Malaysia focusing in the digital space. But I think, again, the retaining of the talent for me is key, and the upgrading.
Zain, do you have anything to add to Farah's points there?
I think that pretty much captures the whole issue about talent, right? So even with our startups, we've actually spent quite a lot of effort trying to help them to find people. There's plenty of good talent, but they don't come cheap, especially for startups, right? And at the same time, you know, echoing what Farah said, sometimes the skill sets aren't quite there, especially if the startups are pursuing something that's a lot deeper than, you know, something that's very surface level, platform plays, that sort of thing. So really, technology transfer is very much important, but the expertise that comes with it, finding, you know, senior and experienced veterans, convincing them to come back and share their knowledge as well, to advise our startups sometimes, that's also a very important role that we need to play, right? So even for us, sometimes we know that you can't afford the talent that you want, but they may be able to come and serve as a mentor. Right, some of them are very happy to give their time, you know, in exchange for nothing, and it's just a way for them to give back to the ecosystem. So we all play like a very important part in trying to find these people and linking them up with the startups over here.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, when you look at talent, it's not necessarily talent in the technical digital space as well, mm-hmm. right?
True.
So you need to understand it. We were discussing earlier about, you know, how startups tend to not understand the power of branding.
Yes.
Right? Marketing, corporate finance. Mm-hmm. Now, these are so-called box standard legacy skill sets that there are quite a lot of people, you know, available in KL, in Malaysia, for example, right? I, for example, came from legacy finance and I'm in this space now. And I think there's an important distinction to be made here about technology talent pool and non-technology related talent pool that is so essential in order to boost the domestic fintech ecosystem.
Yeah, because end of the day, if you want to be able to, your brand needs to be known, just within the walls that you operate in. Yeah. And, you know, coming back to talent management, it's not something that happens overnight. We want to build talent locally. Of course, we want to be able to nurture that, but that takes years. And sometimes you need people who already know it to be working in the ecosystem in order to be able to pass that knowledge on. So I know over the weekend, we heard from QPAX about, you know, we should be limiting the amount of foreign labor or foreign talent we're bringing in to the tech. And I think the tech ecosystem wasn't too pleased to hear that.
Oh, I think we should be excluded from that umbrella statement. Right. I don't see how we can grow otherwise.
You need to bring in this talent to grow. And in the longer term, then we'll be able to nurture our talent to meet those exacting standards. We can't expect them to be able to do it overnight, especially if we want to build future industries here and not just rely on good old materials, a good old the legacy businesses that we've banked on for so long.
And also once the industry develops into that really more sophisticated element, right, that we are seeing into 2024, and I know you want to talk about that, 24, 25, those are, you know, we're fighting a global talent war here, you know? So I think it's key.
We'll talk about the future in just a bit. We're going into a few messages right now. Folks, you've been listening to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And today, we've been exploring fintech here in Malaysia. And helping me with this conversation has been Farah Jaffar, Vice President of the Fintech Association of Malaysia, as well as Lo Zen Hui, a Managing Partner at Artem Ventures. I'm Roshan Kernison. We'll be back in just a bit. So keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Big Front Man, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, I'm Roshan Kunnison, and welcome to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. Today, we're exploring fintech here in Malaysia. And among other things, earlier, we talked about the current state and where investor confidence is. We've talked about talent management and talent development needs. Now we're going to be talking about the future. And I'm having this conversation today with Farah Jafar, Vice President of the Fintech Association of Malaysia, as well as Lo Zen Hui, a managing partner at venture capital firm Artem Ventures. With everything that we've discussed so far, and we've talked about key areas, so digital assets, BNPL, Ditto, digital investment and taxable operators, Islamic fintech, the need for to work with regional players, the need for talent. With everything we've discussed so far, let's start with you, Zen, here. What lessons should the industry take from 2023 and keep in mind for 2024?
I'm just going to echo what I said earlier, right, about using data very wisely in building up your products. I think moving forward, financial inclusion is still going to be a major topic, especially as some of the funds that have just started up are looking at targeting this issue, right? But you can't really do it if you don't have the customer touch points, or if you don't have the data about these customers in the first place. So it's really about businesses that if they want to be able to be effective in tackling this issue, it's really knowing what problems your customers are facing in the first place. With that, you have to solve those problems first before you can even start thinking about, you know, trying to add on more fintech and all that kind of stuff to monetize off them, right? So with that sort of mindset, I'm just gonna mention some of our companies, for instance, Metcash, right, going after the micro entrepreneur space. They're funding women entrepreneurs with micro loans, and it's, you know, we can't really think of fintech as simply a product where you're just giving them money and then, you know, you expect that to solve the problem. It's just a stopgap, right? Lending is just a stopgap. So you have to think deeper, right? How, with this money, how do I help them grow their businesses? How do I help them, how do I lift them out of whatever socioeconomic situation they're currently in? Because these people need that money for a reason, right? And if we're talking about micro entrepreneurs and SMEs, it's about equipping them with the skills to build up their businesses, right? Use that capital wisely, spend it wisely and grow. And if they prove to be very effective at managing these funds and that sort of thing. So that's where you as a platform, you're supposed to use that data and say, okay, I can help you get access to better products, other products. I can get you a business insurance, for instance. I can get you, I can help you with hiring. I can help you with all kinds of other things. So it's about, you know, building this sort of ecosystem around your product first and then your customers and then really understanding what else they need. And that's what you add on. And that's how I think we're learning as a fintech ecosystem. We have the matured stuff, right? We have payments, we have lending and all that. But if you really want to tackle some of these segments that are not so well represented, this is how you should go about it.
Farah, lessons from 23 to bring to 24?
Investor protection, investor education, which actually echoes back to inclusion, right? Yeah. I mean, like it or not, you know, when you start looking, and inclusion is the reason I joined the digital space, right? It's so empowering, the idea that we all stand together on the same level. I think, though, that the fintech industry in Malaysia and globally has not paid enough attention to investor education and protection, right? There isn't that. And this is where the regulators will come in, if they haven't already, to indicate that there has to be a minimum level of investor education and protection, right? Because digital is so pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
So investor education has to be pervasive, right?
Needs to be very proactive instead of being reactive.
Absolutely, you know? And we're not talking about the crypto meltdown investor education. We're talking about the mom and pops here.
Yeah.
We're talking about, remember my colleague John came in and talked about BNPL.
Yep.
Right, that is going to be a key watershed moment with regards to how ready we are as a country vis-a-vis investor protection, creditworthiness, and how we move forward with that. So I think for me anyway, when you start looking at 2023, the challenges in 2023 should be the base we start moving for 2024. So investor protection is going to be key. I think also we don't speak enough about a digital umbrella for everyone. who's talking to the people in Sabah and Sarawak that don't have internet?
Mm.
What are we doing about that? Right? How are we ensuring that before we start talking about financial inclusion, that everyone has access to the internet? Right? You know, you're talking about selling people TVs when they don't have electricity here. Come on. Mm-hmm. Right? Let's be fair. Why don't we create a situation, like a public-private partnership kind of thing, where we go out, put up solar panels in the depths of Sarawak or Sabah or even Pahang, and making sure that everyone that needs that inclusion has access to the inclusion facilitator, which is the internet. So I think, you know, we tend to talk a lot in our little teacup, and that's great. It's fantastic. But we need to think about the rest, yeah. Right? So I think that's key. You know, and going back to looking forward into 2024, you know, now that in 2023 we have matured, as it were, going back to where we started, I think once we mature, we need to understand that there are growing pains. Right? I have a teenager at home, well, a tween. And yeah, it's quite schizophrenic, right? He's he's a child one moment, and next child, he's next moment, he's calling me yo, bruh. Do you know what I mean? So it's there's a lot to be said about all that, right? So yeah. We are going to find in the digital fintech landscape this schizophrenic kind of element where you're going to have the policy streets of the world where, you know, they're going to fantastic funding rounds, and you're going to have the real startups. So we're going to have to appreciate that we are speaking to a much wider audience as the FinTech Association of Malaysia. And I think as a country, we need to understand that as we mature, there are different levels of development, you know, that may seem a little bit confusing sometimes.
Zen, with the 30 seconds that we have left, is there anything else you'd like to, say before we wrap up?
I think we're still in a pretty good space moving forward. FinTech in Malaysia is still going strong. So I think as we move forward, all we need to do is stay focused on the problems that we're trying to solve in the FinTech space. And then, you know, if you're a startup, that's when you can actually show that the money will come eventually.
Yes.
Mm. Farah, any final words before we wrap up?
Money will always find level. FinTech is here to stay. Anything digital is here to stay. And we would really like to welcome all the digital players to FinTech Malaysia, FinTech Association of Malaysia.
On that note, thank you both for your time today. Folks, I've been speaking with Farah Jafar, Vice President of the FinTech Association of Malaysia, as well as Lo Zen Hui, Managing Partner at Artem Ventures. And you've been listening to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And if you missed any part of this conversation, you'd want to catch the podcast on our website at bfm.my or download the BFM app. Our shows are also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast players. Just look up Enterprise Explores. Keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.